Welcome to Season 5 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I'm your host, Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin, patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 9 of the Fashion Law Network podcast series. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope everyone's having a nice month of May, hopefully gearing up for the upcoming summer. I definitely am. I'm going to Europe soon, and I'm really looking forward to it, especially, of course, to do some shopping since the US dollar is pretty strong now. And with the slightly lower prices for some designer items in Europe, I think I'm going to be able to get some nice deals on a few items I've been eyeing recently. So I have a very special episode today with a featured guest, and it's been quite a while since I've had a guest on the podcast. So today's episode will be all about the beauty pageant world, and of course, with an intellectual property law spin. I will begin the episode with some background information on a few of the major pageants in the United States, namely Miss USA, Miss Universe, and Miss America. And then I'll discuss some intellectual property-based lawsuits that the organizations have been involved with. And then during the second half of the episode, I will have a discussion slash interview with a former Miss USA contestant and a former Miss Wisconsin title holder, Caitlin McCall. And she'll give us all the interesting behind-the-scenes information that go into competing in the world-famous Miss USA pageant. So first, let's begin with some background information on these pageants. The major pageants in the U.S., as I mentioned earlier, are the Miss USA, Miss America, and Miss Universe. Now, Miss USA is a beauty pageant that's been held annually since 1952. Once the Miss USA person is chosen, they go on to compete in the Miss Universe pageant. And the Miss Universe organization operated both pageants as well as Miss Teen USA until 2020, at which point the organization announced that they were licensing the operations of the Miss USA and Miss Teen USA pageants to a former Miss USA title holder, Crystal Stewart. The pageant has changed hands over the past few years. The pageant was then owned by Donald Trump from 1996 to 2015. And then in 2015, the William Morris Entertainment Industry slash IMG purchased a pageant from Donald Trump. And in 2020, the FYI Network broadcast the competition for the first time, and then in 2022, JKN Global Group acquired the pageant from WMEIMG. Now, the owner of this Thailand-based JKN Global Group is a 44-year-old Thai businesswoman. She's also the CEO, whose name is Khun Ann or Ann Jock Judatip. Now, the current Miss USA is Morgan Romano of North Carolina, and she was crowned at the end of January 2023. The other major pageant in the United States is Miss America, and Miss America is also an annual competition that is open to women from the United States between the ages of 17 and 25. The pageant originated in 1921. And currently, the contest is judged on competitors' talent performances and interviews. As of 2018, there was no longer a swimsuit portion or consideration of physical appearance. The previous year's title holder crowns the winner, and the current Miss America is Grace Stonke of Wisconsin, and she was crowned Miss America 2023 last December. So this is someone that my featured guest knows very well, and we will get into the details of that during the interview portion of this episode. So now that we know some background information on the different pageants, let's delve into the intellectual property portion of the episodes. All the pageants who own various trademarks to protect their names, for example, in looking up the Miss USA marks on the United States Patent and Trademark Office database, I see there are tens of marks associated with the JKA owned Miss Universe trademarks and Miss USA trademarks under lots of various categories, clothing, pageants, etc. I did notice there are various dead marks for Miss USA, which are not filed by any of the associations affiliated with the Miss Universe owners, and a lot of them have expressed abandonment issues. This is pretty rare in trademarks, so it makes me think that perhaps the people who filed these Miss USA marks that are not affiliated with JKN or the previous owners were perhaps contacted by the Miss USA owners, and they had to file an express abandonment of their trademark. So essentially, an express abandonment of a trademark application is a irrevocable voluntary request that the United States Patent and Trademark Office terminates the registration process of your trademark. There's lots of different reasons why someone might choose to expressly abandon the trademark applications. For example, perhaps the person is no longer using the trademark in commerce, or a trademark opposition or a concurrent use proceeding was filed against the application, or a third-party settlement agreement was entered, which required you to expressly abandon the application. So we're not sure what exactly happened under those Miss USA expressly abandoned marks not filed by the organization, but those are just some options of what might have happened there. And there have also been a few trademark litigation lawsuits, infringement litigation lawsuits involving the Miss USA, Miss Universe organizations, namely when Trump took over from 1996 to 2015. Trump's attorneys filed various legal challenges, at least 23 different pageants, charging that they were infringing on the trademark of Miss USA, which Miss Universe LLP at the time owned. And some of the pageants challenged by Trump's attorneys were Miss South Sudan USA, Miss Teen Latina, Mrs. USA, Miss Plus USA, Mrs. USA International, and Miss Multiverse. Arguably, the most famous of these lawsuits was the Miss Universe LLP versus Miss Nude Southern USA. In 2003, the Trump-owned, at the time, Miss Universe LLP filed a complaint opposing an application to trademark Miss Nude Southern USA, arguing that it was, quote, confusingly similar to the existing Miss USA trademark. Applicant's mark merely inserts additional modifying words, namely Nude Southern, between the words Miss and USA. The owners of the Miss Nude Southern USA answered back with a compelling argument that adjectives matter, and they stated, quote, the strong primary noun nude and southern arranged between Miss and USA prima facie controvert any allegation of confusing similarity. Now, we'll never know exactly what happened here because the two parties reached a settlement and the complaint was withdrawn. Now, another lawsuit which made headlines regarding the Miss USA, Miss Universe pageants was when Miss Universe was using a check maker of the pageant winner's crowns. And this was back in 2017. And according to Reuters.com, this was during the time when IMG bought the patents from Trump. And they allegedly canceled the Czech company, which was called Diamonds International Corp's contract after financial problems allegedly caused the Prague-based company to miss two required payments. Now, just by way of very general contract law, a missed payment may, of course, trigger a breach of contract claim. Namely, the question here was, does missing two payments constitute a material breach of a contract? Now, one thing that we would have to know, or one thing that would help in us trying to analyze it on the side here, was how many total payments were required. For example, was it only one payment per year? So if the two missed payments out of 10 payments total, that would be quite substantial, constituting a material breach, versus a contract structure where perhaps there were monthly payments over a term of 10 years. So two missed payments would not have as much gravity, although in my opinion, it would most likely still be a material breach of the contract. So the complaint filed by IMG also alleged trademark infringement on top of the breach of contract, as IMG claimed that the Crown Company nonetheless kept advertising their ties to the pageant, including on their website where they displayed their logo on top of the Miss Universe name, which of course is trademarked according to the lawsuit. The complaint goes on to state that the Miss Universe marks are famous and distinctive, and the Crown Company's use of them deceived the public and caused, quote, substantial and irreparable harm. This is all according to the complaint that IMG filed. According to Reuters.com, DIC did not respond to requests for comment once they tried to contact them. The lawsuit by IMG was seeking triple damages for the alleged trademark infringement, $2 million of contractual payments, and unspecified damages for breaching the sponsorship agreement, which is supposed to run from 2015 to 2024. So it looks like that material breach of contract, alleged material breach of contract, came only 2 years after the start of the contract, since it was in 2017. The end conclusion, again, is unknown. However, DIC, the crown maker, was discontinued for use in the organizations. So I would assume that perhaps they came to some sort of confidential settlement that we will not know the details of. All right, now that we have all that background information on the beauty pageant world, let's hear from our featured guest today, Caitlin McCall, former Miss Wisconsin title holder and Miss USA contestant. So here we go. Enjoy. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much for joining me on the Fashion Law Network podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's first talk about, and I know I kind of discussed this earlier in the episode, but I would love to hear it from you, just the main differences between the Miss USA, Miss Universe, and Miss America pageants.
Well, Miss America, kind of the OG pageant, OG competition, it started in 1921 in Atlantic City, and it was like an intercity bathing beauty contest. And the main point of it was to extend tourist season in Atlantic City to go past Labor Day. So it was typically held in September, and then just grew into this Miss America powerhouse that so many of us know. It became such a household name. In 1952 was when the Miss USA organization was started. And the reason Miss USA started in Long Beach, California, by the Catalina Swimwear Company. Catalina had been a sponsor of Miss America, but Miss America 1950 refused to pose in a swimsuit. So Catalina broke away and started their own organization. Miss USA is part of the Miss Universe organization. So Miss USA goes on to compete at Miss Universe. Miss America, that's the end of the line. That's the end all be all for that organization. Where you see some differences in competition, the Miss America organization, they have one area of competition that's different. They add the talent competition to their scoring. Miss USA is strictly evening gown, interview, and swimsuit. Miss America got rid of the swimsuit competition a few years ago. We lovingly referred to it as Miss America 2.0. They have now, they're under some new ownership right now, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but they have brought back lifestyle and fitness. So in this state competition season, you will see the women competing in lifestyle and fitness, which will be active wear. And then they also talk about what makes them Miss America fit. It goes along with an alignment with the American Heart Association. Another thing that you see a little bit different with Miss America is this focus on community service. Now, the Miss USA title holders do a ton of community service as well. They have some different organizations they align with, like Best Buddies, Smile Train USO. They've done some other stuff throughout the years, like breast and ovarian cancer awareness. But with Miss America, each title holder has their own community service initiative. And so they spend their year advocating for what they're motivated and feel very strongly about changing within the society they live in. So you see, you know, a little bit more of that service organization. Also scholarship. Miss America is the largest scholarship provider for women in the world. It's typically been a volunteer organization. It was just purchased by Robin Ross Fleming, who is the CEO of Girl Bossing Inc. So it is starting to be run more like a business. Miss USA has been run like a business, you know, franchises and whatnot since its inception.
Interesting. Now, I think this is going to be the question that everybody's here for. Tell us about your competition story and which pageants you competed in.
Well, I'm a hybrid. I competed in America and in USA. I did not compete at the national level in Miss America, but Miss America is kind of where my home and my heart is. I started competing at the Miss America organization at the local level when I was 17 years old. I competed for Miss Burlington Area Chocolate Fest, which was what my babysitter was when I was a kid. And that's why I wanted to become involved in the organization. So I held four different titles in the Miss America organization. I was Miss Racine, Miss Milwaukee, Miss Southern Wisconsin, and Miss Burlington Area Chocolate Fest. And I was always a top five finalist at Miss Wisconsin. So I had a judge one time tell me, "You look like more of a USA girl." And in my mind, I kind of went to the fact that USA doesn't compete in talent. And so I thought, oh, is my talent not very good? And he said, no, you just look more like a USA girl. So I think this goes very well with Fashion Law Network because it was like he said, you have an edgier fashion sense. You wear a little more like a sexier gown.
Right.
So he said, why don't you try USA? So I decided that next year to try Miss Wisconsin USA. I won on the first try, so he was probably right. And then I competed at Miss USA in 2007, and I was a top 15 semifinalist.
And did you have a talent for that one?
For Miss USA, you don't do talent. For
No
Miss
talent.
America, I was a dancer. I was a
Oh,
ballerina.
got it. Okay, cool. Okay, now what about, so how does someone become eligible to compete in Miss USA? Like, do you have to win those prior pageants that you had, or can someone just go off the street and enter?
Every state is different. So, in the state of Wisconsin, you basically go as an at-large contestant to Miss Wisconsin USA. There are states like Texas, they have local competitions, Miss Houston, Miss San Antonio, Miss Austin. They do the local competitions in order to get to the state pageant. So, it kind of depends on the state. Every state's different. It's similar for Miss America. There's some Miss America states that also go at large. I believe Colorado is one of them. But so I was able to just go as an at-large contestant to win Miss Wisconsin USA.
I see. Okay, so now once you're in or you're about to compete in the Miss USA pageant, what are some of the fashion rules? Are there any like specific designers who you have to use for your gown or your swimwear? How does that work?
So at Miss USA, you were able to select your own gown, no matter who the designer was, what style you liked, whatever. We did have a swimwear sponsor. So typically Miss USA does have a swimwear sponsor. Every woman wears a swimsuit from that organization or that company. I believe ours was TSC. It was a swimwear company out of Thailand. And then our opening number dresses, those were provided by Tadashi. And it was a really cool year because you sent in, your hair color, your measurements, all this stuff. And he made each one of us a custom gown. So it was very cool. And what they did was each grouping of contestants, it represented a different line from his fashion history.
Oh, that's great. Do you still have that gown?
I do, yeah. It's one of my very favorites. It was like I got it was cool because you do alphabetical. So as Wisconsin, I was at the end. We got to represent like his current line at the time. So we had like these beautiful neon long evening gowns.
Oh, wow. Now, what about the crown? Any interesting like details or facts about it? I know it's the sponsor has changed hands a few times for who the
Yes.
crown maker is, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the Miss USA sponsor, crown sponsor kind of changes hands here and there. So it's been Miki Moto, which is my personal favorite. That was the crown when I competed. It was like, diamonds, pearls. They had a crown that got passed, like the large crown that would get passed down to each title holder. And then she got to keep a smaller tiara as a keepsake. Diamond Nexus Labs is another company that sponsored the crown. I like that one because it was out of the state of Wisconsin. It's currently Moad is the crown sponsor. And they do the Miss Universe crown as well. And it's very symbolic. They do kind of different designs for each one. Miss America, they've had the same crown design pretty much universally since they started. But what's really cool, America has kind of a significance behind the design. It has four different points on the top, and they each stand for something. They're the four S's. It's service, scholarship, success, and style. And then they sit atop the circle of the crown, which stands for sisterhood.
Oh, I love it. And I think you've showed me a picture of your crown, right? Or did I see it in your
Yeah,
house?
maybe.
Yes, I think I did. Okay, now this is my favorite question. What was your exercise diet regime before you were competing?
I wish it was the same now. I wish I had the same discipline now that I
You
had
look
then.
exactly the same, Caitlin.
When I started competing for Miss America, I was like 19, 20 years old. So doing my talent, just dancing, always seemed to be enough. I didn't need to worry about what I was eating, anything like that. But once I hit my mid-20s, I kind of discovered the importance of strength and toning and stamina and needing to fuel my body with actual nutritious foods, not just eating on the go all the time. So I did focus a little more on strength training. I remember I used to do a push day and a pull day. So like a day where the exercises were pushing weights away from me. And then the next day would be like pulling, so like a bicep curl or a pull down or something like that. And then cardio and my talent. I used to love this. So my dad was a cook. He loved to cook, and he would make it his personal challenge to make me like a low carb, lighter cheesecake so I could have a treat every now and then.
Oh, that's so cute. Now, what about the costs associated with being in pageants? Are there any entry fees? How does that process work?
There are. When I started competing for Miss America, there were not any entry fees. It was just you enter. That was the beauty of it. You essentially could enter with putting no money in. Like let's say you borrowed your wardrobe or, whatever, and get scholarship money out of it. It did change a little bit for a number of years. They partnered with Children's Miracle Network, and so you would get donations from people to enter, which was nice because if people donated to this, it was, a tax deductible donation. And how it went was that part went to Children's Miracle Network, and then part of it would go back to your local scholarship fund. More recently, they've required registration fees, just because of, financial changes as the leadership has changed with Miss America. Now that Robin Ross Fleming has taken over, she has made it like a new requirement. It's called like buying a membership into the organization. And then you pay like a fee for each local that you do. USA has always had an entry fee because it's run like a business. So, and it varies from state to state. It even varied from like when I competed to now we have new ownership in Wisconsin. So it's different depending on the organization that runs the pageant. But there's that. I mean, people obviously buy wardrobe and whatnot, but there are so many avenues now. With social media and online applications where you can resale clothing, you can rent clothing from people. I know the local organization that I partner with in Wisconsin, we have a closet full of things that we rent to people. So it, you can kind of spend as little or as much as you want.
That's nice that cost doesn't prohibit someone from trying to enter one of those
Totally,
pageants.
totally.
Are there any specific height, weight, age requirements to compete in Miss USA?
Yes, there is age requirements. The age is 18 to 28 years old. Miss America just aligned its age requirements to be similar. Now, both of these organizations also have like a teen program, like a sister program that's for teenagers. So in America, when you're 18, you can pick if you are more aligned with teen or if you're more aligned with Miss. Like if you're a senior in high school, you might be more aligned to do the teen pageant. If you're, 18-year-old in college, you might be more ready to do Miss. So 18 to 28, and like I said, that just changed. And no height, no weight requirements. One thing you do tend to see is that USA women are taller.
Right. And you
Like
are
I'm
5'9".
5'9", and I was like average height at Miss USA. My roommate
Really?
was Miss Iowa. She was 6 foot tall, flat foot.
Wow, so tall. Now, what about when you become Miss USA? Do they get a salary, like an
Yes.
annual salary?
Yeah, Miss USA gets a six-figure salary. She gets a condo in LA. She drives a Porsche from like downtown LA, Porsche.
Oh my gosh.
Miss America. She gets a $50,000 scholarship and upwards of a six-figure salary also. A lot of this is because their appearances are paid for. Like they have a fee associated with their appearances. So part of their appearance fee goes to the organization, part of it goes to their salary. New this year for Miss America also, she has an apartment in Palm Beach where she resides near the new headquarters for the Miss America organization. So when she's not traveling, she has kind of a home base in Florida also.
I bet there's a lot of travel involved with that.
There is. I follow Miss America. I run or facilitate a local competition in Wisconsin, and we were lucky enough this year that Miss America was our title holder. So I obviously follow her a lot, and she has just been all over the place. She's been lucky though because a lot of Wisconsin companies and organizations have been booking her, so she gets to go home a lot and see her family.
So that kind of ties into my next question, which was, what are the obligations once you are like Miss Wisconsin or Miss America?
So it kind of depends on the state and the organization too. I feel like the Miss Wisconsin for Miss America, it has more roots in the state of Wisconsin, more long-standing appearances. So they do request that Miss Wisconsin take a year off of work and school to fulfill these obligations. Now, with work and school being able to be so remote these days post-COVID, they've kind of had some wiggle room with that. So I know Grace, our current Miss America, who is Miss Wisconsin, she was able to finish her coursework at the University of Wisconsin, and she graduated just a couple of weeks ago. So that was great for her. And I know during COVID, we did have a Miss Wisconsin who she ended up holding the title for 2 years because we couldn't have a competition during the pandemic, and they allowed her to work as well. And the Miss Wisconsin who took over for Grace when she won Miss America, she still works her job, but it's flexible because she has these longstanding appearances she needs to do. I didn't have as many appearances as Miss Wisconsin USA, so I didn't have to take the whole year off of school, but I did take the semester off that I competed at Miss USA because of the prep and because of the travel and things like that. But once you are Miss America or Miss USA, it becomes, obviously a bigger deal. There's a lot more appearances and there's a lot more travel that takes time away from you.
Yeah, I bet. Now, is a Miss contestant allowed to be married or have kids while they're competing?
In Miss USA, this is new this year. Yes, they are allowed to be married, be pregnant, or have kids. Miss America does not allow this. So, like Miss Maine USA, she won, I can't remember when her pageant was, but she recently got married, like during her year of service as Miss Maine USA. And there are some women who, I don't know about Wisconsin, but I know in some other states there's some women who have kids who have competed now. And I think part of that is because we've seen numbers dwindling a little bit. There's so many opportunities. I mean, more and more opportunities every year for women. So I think this is becoming, I don't want to say less attractive, but there's so many other options out there now.
I
So I
wonder if
think,
so if social media had something to do with that, right?
so many opportunities for scholarships, so many opportunities to be, like an influencer, a content creator.
Yeah.
So I think they needed an avenue to expand the numbers, because without the numbers, we don't have competitions.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the criteria that the judges look for in the Miss USA pageant?
Miss USA is, more of for lack of a better phrase, your typical beauty pageant. We are looking for above all confidence, I guess. Nothing makes a woman more beautiful than her confidence. So her stature, can she walk well? Does she have a great personality? So they compete in interview first. So you get to know personality before you see them on stage. But it's, when I'm working with women, I like to make sure they get a certain number of questions in so that the judges get an idea of who they are. They're not too long-winded, so they get a variety of different information pieces about the woman.
Right.
Then when they go on stage, they compete in swimsuit, they compete in evening gown, and at the state level, when I've judged in Iowa and Minnesota. We use a mention system. So you see all the women, And then you pick, they do like a top 15 usually. You mention, like, okay, these are my top 15 in swimsuit. Then these are my top 15 in evening gown. These were my top 15 in interview. And the auditor takes all those mentions, and whoever gets the most mentions advances to the 15. Then you do the same thing for five. And then once you get to the five, you do like a ranking. And a ranking is kind of just your overall impression. Like, I think contestant number 18, that's my number one for Miss USA. So you rank them, who you think your number one is, your number two is, and then where it kind of all meets is where you get your winner from. In Miss America, they use percentages. So the interview is a lot longer. It's about a 9.5 minute interview. You also do an introduction and a closing. For that, same thing. We try to get a certain number of questions in. You do pretty extensive paperwork for Miss America. You do like a resume fact sheet and then an essay about your community service initiative. Then they go into like an onstage question. They do talent, which is 20% of their score. It used to be weighted much heavier. Now it's down to 20%. Lifestyle and fitness and evening gown, which they've been referring to as the red carpet competition.
Interesting. What about plastic surgery? Is it allowed?
Yeah, no, totally. And I feel like you're seeing a little bit more of it, at least like injectables. I feel like you're
Yeah.
seeing a little bit more of, but the funny thing is when you talk to people, my mom worked for a global corporation when I was in my 20s. And so they would have people coming from like South America. And they couldn't believe I did pageants because, and not have plastic surgery. Because in South America, even like competing, not even if you're the winner, but plastic surgeons would sponsor them because
Wow.
it's just like so prevalent. And you do see it a little bit more in what they call them the sash factor states, you know, some of the southern states like Texas and
Right.
Florida. California is a sash factor state. But
I'm
I
not
do feel
surprised.
like, yeah, you do see it more, you know, you see it more in those like very pageant heavy states.
Right.
But it's not, you know, even like I said, I competed in 2007 and it wasn't uncommon then. So now it's even more common, I feel like.
Right. What are some new developments in the pageant world since you've competed?
I feel like USA, their formula has remained relatively the same. They've kind of kept their core being, they do focus a little more on the community service now than they did, but it's still been the same formula, which contributes to the longevity. Miss America has taken, it's been ever changing. When I competed, there was one year they brought in, it was casual wear competition. That was in 2004. At Miss America, they did the quiz show for a while, like when, gosh, what was that show that Regis,
Oh, Who Wants to Be a
Who
Millionaire?
Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
Yeah, when all the quiz shows started getting popular, they had a quiz show competition at Miss America. It wasn't at the state level, but it was at nationals. I think the biggest change that happened in recent years was there was a huge leadership change a few years ago, and Gretchen Carlson, who's a former Miss America, she took over as the CEO, and they labeled it Miss America 2.0. They got rid of the swimsuit competition and they added a competition called Pitch, Social Impact Pitch, which was similar to a TED talk about your community service initiative. So that was a huge shakeup. And now the new CEO is kind of calling it back to the future. She's like, let's go back to the things that worked before that they got rid of, like things that we didn't need to get rid of, but let's evolve a little bit. I think the biggest thing that's changed is neither one of them is on network television anymore. They're both on streaming services.
Because it, I think it used to be on NBC when Donald Trump owned it,
Yes.
right?
Yeah,
Yes, that's
when
right.
I competed, it was on NBC. Miss America had a longstanding contract with ABC. Miss America, I mean, they were on now this year, like pageantslive.com. It wasn't even like a free streaming service.
Wow.
Last year for the 100th anniversary, they were on Peacock.
So did you get to meet Donald Trump
I
since
did,
you're
yes.
the
Yeah.
owner?
So when I competed, it was in Los Angeles. At the time it was the Kodak Theater. It's the Dolby Theater now. But he was the owner and he came to rehearsal. We were already in the theater rehearsing, so it was closing in on finals night. And he had a golf game that was rained out, which usually is pretty weird in LA. But yeah, he came to the theater and met with all of us and watched rehearsal for a while. And then prior to the show, the chaperones came down as, you know, made sure everyone was ready and appropriate because he wanted to come down and say good luck to us and everything. So he ran a great organization. I will say that. I thought it was like just a well-oiled machine. The people that worked for the Miss Universe organization and the Miss USA organization were top-notch in 2007.
That also goes along with my previous recording regarding the lawsuits. He was really into protecting that Miss USA name through his attorneys on all fronts there too. So who are some of the most famous Miss USAs that maybe the listeners would recognize? I'm sure there's a lot.
So you with Miss USA, you see some famous ones that were teen and Miss. Olivia Culpo, she's been huge lately. She was also Miss Universe before the current Miss Universe. She was our last Miss USA to win Miss Universe. Allie Landry, she was like the Doritos girl way back when. Vanessa Minnillo, she was Miss Teen USA. And probably the most famous one, didn't win Miss USA, but she was the first runner-up, Halle Berry. She was Miss Ohio.
That's right.
She was Miss Ohio USA. Wow. And then for Miss America, I think the most famous one, Vanessa Williams. And then Lee Merriweather, she was Catwoman on the TV Batman. And Gretchen Carlson, I would say, is another super famous Miss America.
Right. Now, what's one or more than one thing that people would be surprised to know about the pageant world?
All of us are friends. I feel like there's a gross misconception that none of us like each other, we're mean to each other. But some of my very best friends I met through pageants. In fact, the person I talk to almost every single day, and she and I are both volunteers for the Miss Wisconsin organization. She's the operations manager. And aside from working with the local competition I facilitate, I do the PR and marketing for Miss Wisconsin. But I talk to her every day, not even in pageant capacity, just in life capacity. She even, you know, was with my family when my dad was ill. And but I was her first runner up in 2006. So we were the final two standing.
Right. That is really
expect,
nice. Yeah.
People don't expect to be that. Friends. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Especially that movie, Drop Dead Gorgeous. I'm sure you
that is one of my very favorite movies of all time. And another dear friend who I didn't compete with, but we volunteer together. She and I quote that movie endlessly.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, in my wedding, I had 8 bridesmaids and 5 of them were pageant friends.
That's so nice to hear. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. I love just like reading the backstory on everything. It really is like a fascinating world.
It's very interesting. There's a lot of good books out there. Kate Schindel, who was a former Miss America, who stars on Broadway, she has a great book about Miss America. And then there was one written recently that I really enjoyed. I kind of want to read it again. It's called There She Was, and it was written by a reporter from the Washington Post. I think it came out a year ago, 2 years ago, right before the 100th anniversary of Miss America. But super interesting.
Okay, I'll post a link to both of those books in the episode notes to this episode. So I'm sure the listeners will want to go and read those books. I'm sure I will, definitely.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. This was
thank
so
you.
Nice having you on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And that concludes the episode. Thank you again for tuning in, and come back soon for episode 10. Have a great day. Bye.